with the latest Trots news. Welcome to RSN Central's Gate Speed.
Plenty to discuss in the sport of harness racing. We'll also debate on who we think the team of Adam Hamilton, Anthony Button, of course, myself, Gareth Hall, who should be crowned the Australian Horse of the Year of last season. And I can't believe some of the experts saying that a three-year-old filly should be crowned the Horse of the Year, even though that I love and adore Ladies in Red. I can't work out their thinking. But we'll discuss and debate this as the show goes on. It's 12:18. Let's welcome in the team, Anthony Butt. It's a good afternoon to you, Ants.
Yeah, afternoon, Gareth.
And hello to you, Adam Hamilton.
G'day, Gareth. Great to be on with you and Ants as well. And what a week we've got ahead. This is just incredible. Not just what we've got in our own backyard, and we'll all be glued to you hosting the barrier draw for the Ballarat Cup tonight, but beyond that, over in WA, the first of their big two, where we know unequivocally they have the greatest depth of open class horses anywhere in this part of the world.
I just hope that Gary Old Jr. is double vaccinated, Adam, so he can drive Chicago Bull. He's been vocal on social media, Junior. I think he's had his first jab anyway. So hopefully they don't, like they did before the Perth Cup, and say, okay, if you're not double vaccinated, then you can't compete in that Perth Cup. So hopefully that's not the case there for the Fremantle Cup, because Chicago Bull was back to his best. He's been a magician over the years, Gary Hall Sr., but if he can train Chicago Bull to win one of these big Group 1s over the next month or so, it would nearly go down as his greatest training performance for mine there, Adam.
Yeah, look, the signs were really good. It was the win he needed just a week before the Freo Cup on Friday night. I guess maybe we felt that he might have got the lead in the race, but it was actually more important that he didn't for us to see where he was at. And whilst he didn't blow them away, he did what he needed to do when the pressure went on. So you give him a big tick for that, but the little caveat in brackets is that he well and truly beat the B-graders, didn't he? So no Minstrel, no Magnificent Storm. They appear to be just on that pedestal a bit at the moment. And then there's a great support cast around them. So can he win it? Yes. Will he need everything to go right and a lot to go wrong for others? I think that's where he's at in his career at the moment, Gareth.
I think, Anson, we've seen it in some of the big races, especially for the paces of late. If you can draw the fence and a quality horse like a Magnificent Storm or a Minstrel or a Chicago Bulls in front, it's hard for the other horses to sit outside of you or come from behind these days with the times that they're running, especially around Gloucester Park.
Yeah, you're right, Gareth, especially at Gloucester Park. It's such a, you know, a fence by a stroke, and anything coming back and wide, it's always difficult. So it's going to be an intriguing sort of carnival, isn't it? You know, there's four or five really top horses there, and it's probably going to come down to the barrier draws.
Yeah, as good as Magnificent Storm is, Adam, I couldn't back him if he has to sit outside of a Chicago Bull or a Minstrel.
Well, no. I think he can beat the leader most times in that scenario. But as we know, you've then got to hold off a really good group of horses who'll be stalking you. So that's the challenge. And the other little thing about it, I know that Ray Williams is saying, don't worry, he hasn't raced for 3 weeks. You know, he missed that race by our choice. It's got to be a worry in the back of your mind. It has to be. It's not how he wanted it to be, Ray. He's not going to give away any secrets if there's been any issues with the horse. But, you know, we've all seen this before, haven't we? He's a great, great horse, but he must go into it with that little question mark about whether he's 100% wound up.
How difficult is it, Ants, for a horse trainer, especially against the big guns in front of when they have to compete in a Group 1, if you have had a little bit of a setback?
Yeah, it's never ideal, Gareth. You always want to be going to these races 110%. And, you know, such a tough level. There's so little between, you know, the best one and the worst one in the race. So if you're just down 1 or 2%, it's tricky. So it's a fine line. You've got to have them fit, but you've got to have them healthy as well. So, yep. You know, that's where the great trainers come to the fore.
Just the great thing about it, though, Gareth, is in the WA situation, they've got this race, and then in 2 weeks, the same horses go around again. And I really like that, because there might be hard luck stories. It's a totally different barrier draw. it's a slightly different distance. First time at, well, the old Grand Circuit level, if you like, that we're seeing Minstrel and Magnificent Storm. And that, to me, is really, really exciting.
The greatest race that I've seen in the last decade, Ants, was a Fremantle Pacing Cup. And Lazarus was on the top of his game, winning everything. And Gary Hall Jr. planted him three wide the trip with Lazarus. Chicago Bull was the breeze. And My Hard Copy sat on the back of Lazarus in the last lap and a half and just got over the top of him. But I don't think I've ever seen a horse go as big as what Lazarus did that night.
No, that was amazing. You know, like when us Victorians or anyone from out of state goes to the West, we call it the Wild West. But anything can happen. You know, they don't look at the tape board or anything before the race. They just they drive here. Yep.
I think about six weeks earlier that Mark Purdon was handing up at the 600-metre mark in one of those Group 1s in New Zealand, and it doesn't quite happen over there. News breaking this morning out of Luke McCarthy's camp, Adam, regarding some of his big stars heading to Victoria a little earlier.
Yeah, Expensive Ego. This one surprised me a bit. Luke had seemed to have been umming and ahhing with the owners whether they would come to Victoria at all. And then he went quiet for a few days, and then he dropped the bombshell text this morning to say, pretty sure Ants didn't want to hear this either, that Expensive Ego was coming a couple of weeks early for the Ballarat Cup, and Luke will drive him himself. So we've got to be honest in saying, as good as Spirit of St. Louis is, he's probably, well, he's a couple of lengths below the best Expensive Ego and the best King of Swing. So they're very well positioned. He's coming. What a Ballarat Cup it's going to be. Amazing Dream. Lock and Bar Art, maybe, probably, seems about a 60% chance is a vibe I'm getting. And obviously Spirit of St. Louis there as well. But Ants, life gets harder with Expensive Ego and then King of Swing 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, it's going to be some great racing, Adam. And that's what you want to see. You know, these four or five great horses all mix in these big races. And, you know, it's obviously going to come down to barrier draws for such good horses. One can't be given another one too big a start, that sort of thing. So now it's going to be really exciting.
And these big guns help your mare, Amazing Dream, because she needs a few others to help her out. And she probably enjoys the others to go to war, and she just sits there and has the last crack at them ants.
Yeah, it'll definitely give me a chance to drive from behind. Like sometimes she's been forced to be in front through circumstances. So no, I'm looking forward to it.
We're on the one here. Who's Counting at Charlton? Have you been driving Who's Counting, ants?
Yeah, I have been. Yep.
Gareth Hall, Anthony Budd, Adam Hamilton with you with Gate Speed on this Monday. Anthony, you drove against Lock and Bar Art. What did you make of his performance first up?
Oh, I thought it was really good, Gareth. You know, first up from a long time away and nothing like that race fitness. So he, you know, looked home on the turn, but he just got sort of swamped late. And by a horse that's, you know, been racing really well and come through the end of the Minion Series, so it was obviously, you know, rock hard fit. So no, I wouldn't have too many concerns if I was in the Lock and Bar Art camp.
I agree with everything you said, Ants, but I'm trying to just turn things around a little bit and look at the short time frame that Davey Moran's got, because as terrific as he was, and on every measure it was a great return, he hasn't got long to find, well, realistically, maybe another four lengths or so to get close to his very best, because that performance is not going to get him anywhere near winning a Hunter Cup, is it?
No, you know, he's got to keep getting better. And as you said, you know, they haven't got long, you know, straight into the Hunter Cup virtually, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks, and then obviously into Sydney. So, yeah, it's not ideal. You can't sort of give him a little break. Sometimes it's good to give him a day or two off after a first-up run, but that obviously won't be able to happen. So yeah, it's not easy, but Dave knows what he's doing, and he's done a great job with him so far. So, you know, and a horse like him, he's a big boy, and, you know, he'll take a lot of benefit out of the run, I reckon.
This Ballarat Cup and even the Hunter Cup will be interesting, Ants and Adam, in a way, and I'll start off with you, Ants, because, say, some of the big guns in the sport at the moment, like an Expensive Ego and Lock and Bar Art, they get out of the gate okay, but they're not brilliant out of the mobile. So there's horses that always can cross them in the early part.
Yeah, and even King of Swing's a bit the same boat.
Yep.
So yeah, you know, there's going to be plenty of action mid-race, and that's good in a way. So, you know, some of the other ones will have a chance if they can spear off the gate and find the fence first and then wait for one of the big guns to come. So, and then there'll have to be moves from the others, you know.
It's almost a certain, almost a perfect scenario now, isn't it? Because we get a great, great field for Ballarat, and then we drop in King of Swing to add another flavour or dimension to the Hunter Cup. So, you know, it's almost a promoter's dream, isn't it, to have a great Ballarat Cup. I think the best Ballarat Cup we've had since the glory days you were competing on it, Ants, when you look at the depth we've got this week. But then you throw in a previous Hunter Cup winner in King of Swing and, you know, the previous horse of the year to add another little flavour to the Hunter Cup.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes nothing worse than they all meet the week before, you know, and can be a bit of a downer if one comes out and dominates. So, yeah, it's going to make it really exciting. And, you know, as I said, there's going to be some sensational racing over the next 3 weeks.
You've got the barrier draw tonight, Gareth, haven't you?
Anthony Butt will be joining me as well. He's been everywhere these days, Ants.
I couldn't make the Gold Coast, though.
No, I know. I don't know what happened there. I thought I was a late call-up as well, Ants, but next year, don't worry about that. We've locked you in. But I'm looking, the barrier draw will play a major part. The field looks like it was better, as you pointed out, than we all expected, Adam. So does Luke drive Expensive Ego?
Yeah, he's confirmed to drive it this week, and probably in the most interesting thing he said so far when it comes to Expensive Ego and King of Swing, I said, and you'll drive King in the Hunter Cup, so who drives Expensive Ego? He said, no, I'll wait and see how the draw plays out.
All right, well, King of Swing can get Anthony Butt then, or Todd McCarthy, or who else is there probably? Right. Can Andy McCarthy drive?
No. I think those guys are going back to the States.
Okay.
So they won't be in the picture, and might depend on whether Gary Hall Jr. can emerge from left field, but he's got to be vaxxed.
Junior's like the Novak Djokovic of the hardest race in the world. There's no chance he's coming to Ballarat. I don't think he'd be double jabbed in time.
Just on that, Ants, and plead the fifth if you want, but if the King of Swing drive happen to become available, are you cemented to Amazing Dream?
No, I'm not. But obviously, there's quite a bit of loyalty there. So, you know, you worry about that when it comes. But she's obviously heading to America pretty soon. So there's no long-term commitment. But yeah, you sort of make those decisions when they come along if you need to.
Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens there with the driving situation there with Luke McCarthy, because they've got a lot to play out. King of Swing's got, I think, three more runs before he heads to start. He's got the Hunter Cup, maybe a lead-up race to the Miracle Mile, and then the Miracle Mile, which gets me onto the Horse of the Year. Now, Adam, is it correct? Like, I couldn't believe what I was reading there the other day. I highly respect you, and I get bombarded on the text messages here saying, Gareth, you don't know anything about the sport, and Adam's the king, blah, blah, blah. But ladies,
most of them from me, but anyway,
ladies in red. Like, I love her, and Bill and Ann Anderson, if you're listening, don't take this the wrong way. But she only defeated her own age group, like 3-year-old fillies. King of Swing was the champion Grand Circuit horse, competed in all of the big dances. He has to be the Horse of the Year.
Well, okay, so I don't want to just deliberately be seen to be taking a different slant, but I think before I answer that question, you need to understand, or we need to perhaps discuss what we think about when we vote on something like this, because it's not, to me, it's not just about if you put all these horses together in a race, who would win it? It's measuring what a horse has done within the parameters of its career over the past 12 months. And I don't think that it's logical to say King of Swing has been the best horse in this part of the world over the past 12 months. Now, that's logic.
Yeah.
But he hasn't so dominated at the top level. Like, he's had a few blips. And he hasn't so dominated that I think he's a walk-up start this year. Whereas we have had the best 3-year-old filly that we've seen in Australia for 20 years. So age group horses are allowed to win these titles if they're out of the box. And I guess that's my point. Do you see it differently, Ants? Or like, age group horses have won the New Zealand title in the past as well.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, Adam. Like, you know, even like Plymouth Chubb, he's gone through virtually unbeaten his year, you know, and as I said, King of Swing, he's a great horse. We all know he's probably the best horse in Australia, but, you know, he didn't win the Victoria, the Hunter Cup. He didn't win in Queensland. He didn't win the Inter Dominion, you know. So they got to go against you. So, no, I think it's purely got to be voted on their performances for that 12 months. And, you know, the one that's really dominated their category has got to have the, you know, the league up start, I reckon.
Would you say Acnow's had a better season in a way than Ladies in Red? Like, I think the three-year-old division, like with Bondi Lockdown, et cetera, would have been tougher to win those races compared to the fillies. She's been, and she beat, and she defeated her stablemates, mind you.
Yeah, but I think it's about just how much you dominate. Now, Acnow had a phenomenal season. I'm not questioning that at all, but, you know, but she, if you line up what he did against her, you know, she basically won every time she was expected to. And not only that, I can't remember her getting a decent barrier draw to do it, whereas Acnow got a few favourable draws when it mattered. And she went that one extra big race by winning the Vic Bred, whereas they, I would imagine they held Acnow back because they're potentially looking at, you know, a Chariots or something like that, or big races later on.
But, yeah, it's a great debate, but Better Twist drew inside of her, and the only time she drew inside of her was a semi-final of the Breeders' Crown, and she was too strong for her on that night. Now, she draws inside of her in that final, Ant. I think she beats Ladies in Red.
Yeah, but you could debate all day, couldn't we? Like,
yep.
You know, and normally most years is a standout to pick, but, you know, this year it's probably a little bit trickier, so... Yeah, but as you said, they've got to get all the statistics in front of them and their records for the 12 months. And
it's a lot of fun.
Know, make your best choice.
Majestic Man, should we back him for the Great Southern Star, Ants, before we let you go?
Yeah, we're really happy with him, actually. We think he might have turned the corner. His health's been really good just the last few days. So, yeah, again, he draws the lead. He's going to take some catching.
Have you ever thought about running a marathon, Ants?
Only when someone's chasing me.
Yeah. And you've been chased a lot throughout your illustrious career. There's no doubt about that. But, Adam, I love the feature that was conducted on Kate Gath regarding her passion for marathon running and also, of course, her success in the sport as a two-time Victoria Metropolitan Premiership-winning driver. So she's a wonderful ambassador for the sport of harness racing, and hopefully she inspires you one day, Ants, to compete in half a marathon.
Good luck with that.
Hopefully she inspires me just to get back into running, Gareth. That might be a start rather than running a marathon. But no, look, anything that can be done to promote the stars of our sport, particularly when they've got great stories behind them, and so many of them have, can only be beneficial for the sport. Gareth, I'll leave you with this. Ladies in Red season, 10 starts, 8 wins, 2 seconds, 306,000 plus in stake money. Oaks, Breeders' Crown, Vic Bred, never drew a decent barrier. Best filly we've seen in 20 years. Where do I fill in the form?
Well, you can give her 3 votes. Do I get a vote these days? I don't know if I do. If I do, I'd be voting King of Swing.
Well, they might have removed it for nonsensical voting.
Don't you start. Hey, Ant, who would you vote for? Are you allowed to vote?
No, we don't get... Any, no.
But who would you vote for? Maybe we should like the players' votes, like with the Lee Matthews vote. Which camp would you be in?
Oh, I haven't really given it too much thought. And, you know, I always love the Grand Circuit horses are the pinnacle, and it should go to one of them most years. But, you know, it is hard to go against Ladies in Red for the year she's had. She's won all the big dances.
Wonder this time next year how much we say we'll be talking about Ladies in Red. She misses this upcoming Sydney Carnival, but whether she is the real deal and she goes on to be competitive at Grand Circuit level, she does what Amazing Dream has done and win multiple Group 1s at the highest level.
Gareth, that's a really, really good point you make. I hope we get to see her have that opportunity, but it would appear on face value that she's only going to race against either her own age or sex for the rest of this year as well.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see what she can do, but that will be her biggest test. Ants, we wish you the best of luck, and I'm ready on Majestic Man. I can just see the confidence hear the confidence in your voice.
Thanks, Gareth. Yep.
Good on you, Wonder Boy.
No, I'm really excited to hear Ants's got a Majestic Man back. It just adds to what's going to be a great, great Southern Star. Good on you, G-Man.
Good on you, lads. Good on you, Ants. Good on you, Adam Hamilton.